Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our resident cybersecurity analyst.
Hey everyone, happy to be here. Grab that coffee because we have a packed episode this week.
We really do. It is June 15th, 2026, Volume 1, Issue 38, and this week's threat landscape is one of those weeks where everything feels like it is converging at once. AI platforms getting exploited. Microsoft 365 Copilot with a one-click data theft flaw. 152 Chrome extensions quietly running adware on people's machines. And a password mistake during employee onboarding that is far more common than anyone wants to admit.
And what ties all of it together is something we say almost every week. Attackers are not always kicking down the front door. They are walking in through the side entrance that nobody thought to lock.
Exactly. So here is what we are covering today. We will break down the top threats, translate the government alerts into plain English, spend some time in the small business corner with practical and affordable steps you can take this week, walk through a tech tip, and then we will hear the strategic view from Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation at the CTO's desk. Let's get into it. All right. Let's start with the story that I think has the most immediate implications for any organization that is experimenting with AI tools right now. LightLM. Sarah, set the scene.
So LightLM is a widely deployed open source AI gateway. Think of it as a traffic controller for AI. If your company is making calls to multiple AI models, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google Gemini, whatever, LightLM sits in the middle and routes those requests. It supports over 100 model providers, a lot of companies including small and mid-sized ones.
And now it has a very serious problem.
A critical one. Researchers at Obsidian Security disclosed a vulnerability chain, meaning not one bug, but three separate weaknesses that attackers can link together. And when you chain them, a low-privilege user, basically someone with the most basic access rights, can climb all the way to full admin and then execute code directly on the server.
Explain what code execution on a server means for someone who is not a developer.
Sure. Imagine your AI gateway server is a locked filing cabinet in the back office. Code execution means an attacker is no longer just reading the labels on the outside of the folders. They are inside the cabinet, and they can read everything, change anything, delete records, or use that cabinet as a launching point to break into other systems.
And that is the part that keeps me up at night. Because this is not some obscure tool used by three people. This is infrastructure that companies are building AI products on top of.
Right, exactly. And Daniel Ramos made a great analogy in his CTO column this week. He called it the intern accidentally getting the CEO's key card. That is exactly what this is. You set up a low privilege account thinking it is safe, and there is now a documented path from that account to full control of the entire system.
What does someone running a 50-person company need to do right now?
First question is, are you using LightLM? If you have a development team or you are using any kind of AI tooling that routes to multiple models, check with them today. If you are running LightLM in production, the patch needs to happen immediately. Yesterday, as Daniel put it. Second, review who has accounts on that gateway at all. Privilege escalation attacks. That means attacks that move from low access to high access only work if there is a low privilege account to start from. Audit those accounts. Remove any that do not need to be there.
Perfect. Next story. And this one is genuinely alarming in a very specific way. Microsoft 365 Copilot. Varonis Threat Labs found something they are calling Search Leak.
So Microsoft 365 Copilot, for those unfamiliar, is Microsoft's AI assistant that lives inside your Microsoft 365 environment. It can read your emails, summarize meetings, search across your documents, your calendar, your SharePoint files. That is the whole pitch. It is deeply integrated.
And deeply integrated, it turns out, also means deeply exposed if something goes wrong.
Varonis chained three separate bugs together into what they named Search Leak, and the attack path is genuinely chilling. A victim clicks once on what appears to be a legitimate Microsoft link, and I mean a real Microsoft domain, not a fake lookalike site, and that single click is enough for an attacker to start pulling emails, calendar details, indexed files, and here is the part that escalates this significantly, MFA codes.
Wait, stop there. MFA codes, multi-factor authentication codes. Those are the 6-digit numbers people enter to prove their identity. The whole point of those is to be the last line of defense.
That is exactly right. If you lose your MFA codes through an exploit like this, an attacker can potentially bypass authentication entirely. They do not need your password at that point. They have the keys to the kingdom.
Is this patched?
Microsoft has patched it. The fix is live as of this week. So the immediate action is straightforward. Make sure your Microsoft 365 tenant is current on updates. But the bigger lesson here is one that Daniel touched on in his column. AI assistants need security scrutiny too. When you give an AI tool access to all your email, all your files, all your calendar data, you are also creating a very rich target. If that AI tool has a vulnerability, the blast radius is enormous.
Which is a perfect segue to something in our cybersecurity advancements section this week. Chinese state-sponsored hackers were reported to be actively targeting medical, military, and AI research organizations in North America. And that puts this Copilot vulnerability into a much bigger strategic context.
It absolutely does. When nation-state actors are specifically hunting AI research, and you have a known one-click exploit that could pull files and emails out of an AI-integrated platform, those two things together are not a coincidence you want to discover after the fact. ...152 Chrome extensions, spread across 38 different publisher accounts in the Chrome Web Store, 105,000 installs across real users. These extensions presented as live wallpaper add-ons, decorative backgrounds for new browser tabs, gorgeous sunsets, as Daniel put it, terrible integrity.
So people downloaded what they thought was a cosmetic tool and got something else entirely.
They got adware and fake traffic generation. Adware means software that displays unsolicited ads and tracks your browsing behavior. Fake traffic means the extensions were silently generating artificial web traffic in the background, essentially committing ad fraud, without the user knowing anything was happening.
And this matters to a 50-person company because employees are installing these things on work devices.
Constantly. Browser extensions are one of the most undermanaged attack surfaces in small and mid-sized businesses. People install them casually, on company laptops, often without IT knowing. And a malicious extension has access to everything you do in the browser, every website you visit, every form you fill out, in some cases, every password you type.
105,000 installs. That is not a fringe problem.
No, it is not. And here is the actionable step. Have your IT person or your managed service provider pull a report of every browser extension installed on company devices. Today, anything that is not explicitly approved and understood should be removed. Your browser is not a junk drawer, as Daniel said, and that is exactly the right framing.
Last threat in this section, and this one is about people, not software, the onboarding password problem.
This one is painful because it is so fixable and so common. When a new employee starts, IT is under pressure. They need accounts set up, devices ready, access granted, usually on a very short timeline. The shortcut that almost everyone takes is creating a standard temporary password and handing it to the new hire. Something like welcome123 or the company name plus a number.
And the problem is that password often never gets changed.
That is exactly it. Employees get busy on day one, nobody follows up. That default password sits on a live account for weeks, sometimes months, and attackers know this pattern. They target new employees specifically. They know the window right after someone is onboarded is often a window of elevated risk.
So what is the fix? What does a business owner tell their IT person tomorrow morning?
Force a password reset on day one, not a suggestion, a forced technical requirement. When the new employee logs in for the first time, the system requires them to set a new password before they can do anything else. Modern identity platforms like Azure Active Directory, Okta, JumpCloud, they all support this. It takes a few minutes to configure, and it eliminates this entire category of risk.
Simple, affordable, no excuse not to do it.
None.
Let's move to the government alerts section. Sarah, translate what came out of the SANS Internet Storm Center this week.
So the SANS Internet Storm Center, that is a volunteer-run global sensor network that monitors internet threats in real time, published analysis this week on something called evil MSI background attacks with a specific technique involving Base64 statistical analysis. Let me unpack that.
Please.
An MSI file is a Windows installer package. It is the type of file you use to install software on Windows computers. Attackers have been hiding malicious code inside what appears to be a background image embedded in that installer. The twist this week is that researchers found a way to detect hidden malicious content using statistical patterns in how data is encoded, specifically a format called Base64. That detection technique is being built into security tools.
So what does this mean for a business owner?
Two things. First, be very cautious about where software installer files are coming from. If an employee downloads an MSI installer from a link in an email or from a third-party site rather than the official vendor, that is a real risk vector. Second, this is a good reminder that endpoint detection tools, the security software that runs on individual computers, need to be kept current. The signatures and detection logic that catch these techniques are updated regularly. An outdated endpoint security tool is a tool that is blind to new attack patterns.
The ISC Stormcast updates this week also referenced an active Chrome zero day. A zero day, for those new to the term, means a vulnerability that was being actively exploited before a patch was available. Chrome has already pushed an update. Make sure every device in your organization has Chrome updated to the latest version. Do not put this off.
And this fits into the broader pattern the ISC highlighted this week. Deprecated features still running in production, abandoned software packages being abused, old login paths that should have been turned off years ago. These are not exotic attacks. They are basic hygiene failures that attackers walk right through.
Which brings us perfectly to the small business corner. Three themes this week for small and mid-sized businesses: software supply chains, zero trust network access, and agentic AI. Sarah, let's start with the one that I think most business owners have not thought about at all: software supply chain attacks.
So, a software supply chain attack is when an attacker compromises a piece of open source or third-party software that your company uses, and they use that trusted software as a delivery vehicle for malware. Your company installed something legitimate, the attackers poisoned the source, you got infected without doing anything obviously wrong.
And this week's guidance specifically says to review your dependencies.
Right. Dependencies are the building blocks that software is built on. Almost every piece of software your company uses, custom apps, web tools, internal tools built by your development team, is assembled from hundreds of smaller open source components. If any of those components get compromised, every application built on top of them is at risk.
For a non-technical business owner, the practical question is, do you have a development team or a software vendor? If yes, ask them this week, do we have a software bill of materials? A software bill of materials, or SBOM, is basically an ingredient list for your software. It tells you what open source components are inside the tools you are running. If they do not have one, that conversation needs to happen.
The second small business theme this week is Zero Trust Network Access, ZTNA. The new guidance this week emphasizes designing remote access architectures that do not rely on old trust assumptions.
Old trust assumptions meaning, once you are on the VPN, you are trusted?
Exactly. Traditional VPNs work on a castle and moat model. Get past the drawbridge and you are inside. Zero trust flips that. Every user, every device, every connection has to prove it belongs. Every single time, regardless of where it is coming from. For a small business, the practical starting point is looking at solutions like Cloudflare Zero Trust, Zscaler, or even the Zero Trust features built into Microsoft Entra. That is the new name for Azure Active Directory. Many of these have free or low-cost tiers.
And the third small business theme, agentic AI, walk before you run.
Agentic AI means AI systems that can take autonomous actions on your behalf. Not just answering questions, actually doing things. Booking meetings, sending emails, executing code, accessing databases. The security guidance this week is to think very carefully before you adopt these tools. When you give an AI agent the ability to take action, you are also giving it the ability to take the wrong action. or giving an attacker who compromises that agent the ability to weaponize it.
For a 50-person company, the question to ask before deploying any agentic AI tool is, what is the worst thing this AI could do if it were compromised or went wrong? If the answer is alarming, slow down.
Exactly. Security guardrails, audit logs, and human approval steps for high-stakes actions are not optional when you go down this road.
Now let's do this week's tech tip. We are going to walk you through auditing your browser extensions. Step by step. Sarah, take us through it.
Okay, this is something you can do yourself in about 15 minutes, and it is worth doing on every company-owned computer. Open Google Chrome. Look at the top right corner of your browser window. You will see a puzzle piece icon. Click it. A small menu will drop down showing your active extensions. But for the full picture, click the button that says Manage Extensions. This opens a full page showing every extension installed. Now look at each one. Ask three questions. Do I know what this does? Do I actively use it? Did I intentionally install it? If the answer to any of those is no, click Remove. For every extension you do keep, click the Details button. You will see what permissions it has. If a wallpaper extension is requesting access to read all your browsing data, that is a red flag. Remove it anyway.
And for business owners managing a team.
If you use a device management tool, things like Microsoft Intune, Jamf, or Mozilla, you can push a policy that restricts which extensions employees are allowed to install at all. That is the gold standard. Only pre-approved extensions run on company devices. No exceptions.
That is a 15-minute action today that eliminates an entire category of exposure. Do it. All right, let's go to the CTO's desk. This week, Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation, weighed in, and Daniel was particularly sharp this week. I want to talk through his main points and give some additional context.
Daniel's column this week had this line that really stuck with me. Boring is beautiful. In cybersecurity, the exciting story is almost always a bad story. The boring story. Patches applied on time, access lists reviewed, password resets enforced. That is what actually keeps companies safe.
He called out four specific things this week. LightLM, patch it immediately. Copilot, the fix is live, but the lesson is that AI tools need security scrutiny too. Browser extensions, audit them now and treat your browser like a work tool, not a personal playground. And onboarding passwords, force the reset on day one, every time.
What I appreciate about Daniel's framing is that he is not catastrophizing. He is not saying the sky is falling. He is saying these are specific, fixable problems with specific, affordable solutions.
And the strategic thread connecting all four of those is the same one we see week after week. Attackers are not usually deploying sophisticated nation-state tools against a 50-person company. They are checking whether the intern's account got the CEO's key card. They are seeing if the new hire's welcome 123 password is still active. They are looking for the browser extension that nobody audited. The opportunities are everywhere, and they are almost entirely self-inflicted.
The Chinese state-sponsored targeting of AI research and medical organizations that we mentioned earlier, that is real, and it is serious. But for most small and mid-sized businesses, the daily threat is not a nation-state. It is an opportunistic attacker with a checklist of easy wins. Basic hygiene takes most of those wins off the table.
Daniel also touched on the broader trend of agentic AI this week. The idea that companies are rushing to adopt AI tools that can take autonomous actions without fully thinking through the security implications. And the timing of the Copilot search leak vulnerability is a reminder that every new capability creates new attack surface. The pace of AI adoption is outrunning the security scrutiny applied to AI tools.
It does not mean stop adopting AI. It means apply the same skepticism and controls you would to any other piece of software that has access to your most sensitive data.
Well said. And on that note, let's wrap up. Three takeaways from this week's CyberShield Weekly. Number one, if you or your team are using LightLM as an AI gateway, patch it immediately. A three-bug vulnerability chain allows full server takeover from a basic account. This is critical.
Number two, audit your browser extensions today. 152 Adware-linked extensions with over 100,000 installs is not a fringe problem. Pull the report on your company devices, remove anything you do not recognize or actively use, and consider an extension allow list policy if you have a device management tool.
Number 3, fix your onboarding password process. If new employees are handed a default password that is not forced to reset on first login, change that configuration this week. It is simple, it is free, and it closes a known attacker playbook.
Those 3 things cost almost no money and can be completed this week. Do not let perfect be the enemy of done.
That is it for CyberShield Weekly, Volume 1, Issue 38. If this episode was useful, please share it with another business owner who needs to hear it. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a Tuesday drop. And if you have a question or a topic you want us to cover, reach out. We read everything.
Stay patched, stay skeptical, and remember, boring really is beautiful.
See you next Tuesday.